Nerd Clan, do you love to let your nerd pride show? If so, head on over to themaryandblakestore.com where you can find all the amazing merch for the Potterverse, Outlander, Bridgerton, and much more. Once again, that's themaryandblakestore.com. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
Oh, my name is Blake, and I love me some awkward exposition dumps. Exposition dumps galore in this chapter.
Madame Rosemurta.
Oh, my goodness.
Just got together with everybody in their special little bevies, and everybody wanted to dish.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't see other adults outside of Hogwarts. It's almost like they all wanted to show off in front of her. You know,
oh,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, Flitwick's like, oh, let me tell you all about the term. And Hagrid's like, let me tell you about that pike. And, you know, everyone just wanted to dish. Fudge was even in on it. Nobody wanted to keep their mouth shut in this highly crowded pub.
I know. I unbelievable. Unbelievable how fortunate some events are in the Potterverse, and not, I'm not talking the podcast.
That's right. So this, of course, is Chapter 10, The Marauder's Map. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, sighed George, patting the heading of the map. We owe them so much. Noble men working tirelessly to help a new generation of lawbreakers, said Fred solemnly. And that's really all I wanted.
Fair enough. A new generation of lawbreakers.
Yes. In so many ways, when you think about it, whether it was in school, out of school, in adulthood, there's a lot of lawbreaking that has gone on with some of the quartet.
Oh, yeah. Especially, just outside of that quartet. But Fred and George now are a whole new generation. Just the next evolution of lawbreaking in Fred and George. Big fans of theirs.
I love
how in the book they're like, yeah, I think Fred and George could probably give James and Sirius a run for their money. Oh, Hagrid. Hagrid's
too
great.
Good.
That's awesome. Well, you ready to get into the rest of this episode? Of course, everybody, we want to remind you that you can find us on maryandblake.com and search all of the social media. Just look up Mary and Blake. We're there on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And Mary now is stepping her toes into TikTok with Mary and Blake a little bit. I'm still out on TikTok.
But no, he'll be in.
I'm a little out on it, although Mary did create a fantastic TikTok today about Bridgerton, which I really recommend that you go and check out. It was amazing.
I try.
And of course, we want to also make sure that you head over to Facebook and see the Mary and Blake Facebook group. That is an important new piece to the communities that we're creating for Mary and Blake, and it is a rapidly growing, extraordinarily vibrant group where people are just talking about their favorite things on this planet, whether it is Potter or it is Outlander or, we've had some big discussions about the Umbrella Academy and some movies that are coming out soon. And I'm just really excited about that place. So the Mary and Blake Facebook group is a place for all the nerds to go and enjoy just being nerds, man. All right, Marvin, you ready to do this?
I sure am.
Let's do it, shall we?
We shall.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So here we are, chapter 10, as I said, The Marauder's Map. Basically, what happens in this chapter is Harry wakes up in the hospital wing from his run-in with the Dementors. Professor Lupin is back. Guess who's back? back again. Lupin's back. Tell a friend. They're very excited. And of course, he lets Harry know a little bit more about the Dementors and what makes them so different. Fred and George Weasley give Harry the famed Marauder's map. He then uses the secret passage to get into Hogsmeade. Finally, finally. And while they're there, he overhears the exposition dump known as the teachers just conversing with Madame Rosmerta, where they learn that Sirius Black was not only, you know, Harry's godfather, but that he was their best friend and he betrayed the Potters. And that is why they died. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Not great, Bob.
Agreed.
Not great, Bob.
So, Mary, what stands out to you in this chapter? The thing you said you loved this chapter. I would love to hear why you're so forgiving of the big exposition dump that we experienced in this chapter. Because as I was reading it, I'm like, oh God, this is not Dino DNA. This is the opposite of Dino DNA.
Welcome. I mean, a lot happened in this Jurassic Park. It's funny. We go back and forth between like having kind of a one plot chapter and then ones like this one where there's lots of bits in it. So, of course, Lupin comes back. Harry's very excited. You know, the kids were given this whole bit of studying about werewolves and they're nervous because Snape had given all this homework. And Lupin's like, it's okay, guys. Don't even worry about it. We are totally, totally fine. And he has this great talk with Harry about why the Dementors affect him differently. And you really get a lot of nice connection between Lupin and Harry. Lupin, of course, is one of the most beloved teachers in this series. He's a great, dear friend of Harry and James and Lily Potter, and he really gets to have a very special relationship with Harry. So I appreciated the time that Harry has with Lupin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I really loved that. And then, of course, we go on to Fred and George and the Marauder's Map. The Marauder's Map is one of my favorite magical bits from the series of Harry Potter. I mean, Quidditch in and of itself, that was something that, blew my mind. It was just such a fantastic sport, and I was so excited when I was watching the movies to see it come to life. I felt the same way with the Marauder's Map. Of course, there were all these great descriptions about it inside the book, but I was like, I want to see this on screen. I want to see what the heck they're even talking about. Like, how is a map like this even possible? And then when it was on screen, it really helped me. I mean, I even have a copy here inside of our studio, and I just love me some Marauder's Map. I just really, really do. I think that it is such a cool thing that the author came up with, a really useful tool for Harry. I love the story that we're going to find out about the Marauder's Map. So kind of all of these things to me make it so that I don't even really care that there's an exposition dump. And as I said, I read it as someone who was like, these poor teachers have been stuck in this school with hundreds of kids, and none of them really like each other too awfully much. I mean, we talk about Professor Sprout and Madame Hooch having a grand time together. We know that Trelawney kind of bothers McGonagall, even though she gets her back. You know, she has her back in book 5. We've got Flitwick. We've got Hagrid. I mean, these are all like really strong and different personalities. And here they are. They've got some free time. And I got to tell you, when you have free time and adult bevies
all
with
the adult bevies,
other teachers who you don't normally like hang with, you jibba jabba. You are like, I believe that they would sit down, have Madame Rosmerta come on in, and they were all just chomping at the bit.
Champing.
Sorry,
it's a like, it's a huge
like,
pet peeve
why
of
does
mine.
It even why is it even champing? What even is the what is that as a verb? Champing.
I will get the etymology for you and the reason why it is champing and not chomping at the bit.
Whatever. They're all excited. They're all so excited to see another adult human that they all want to share their bits and pieces of the story. And I actually really liked how it was Flitwick that talked about what the Fidelius charm was and how, you know, McGonagall was the one saying, oh, they were like brothers and they were such troublemakers. And we get to hear Hagrid talk more about the motorbike and how he was the last person or the first person to see Sirius after the death of James and Lily Potter. Like they all had their own different aspects. And it kind of made me think a bit about 9/11, I'm just getting like really dark.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. But.
Mary.
Hear me out.
Okay, I'm hearing you out.
When you are with people on 9/11, or if the topic comes up, or any like major tragedy, you share where you were. You share, oh yeah, like I was doing this and that, and I remember this happening. Like, it's something that binds you together. And many of these teachers sitting at this table were part of the Order of the Phoenix, like the original group that, you know, it was a small group. Some of those people have died. Some of those people have been hospitalized. So it's kind of like they're reliving this war story. So I didn't mind the exposition drop. As I said, I saw it as like you're getting together with some friends and you're like, oh my gosh, like, how did you take that major tragedy?
I don't know. I found the whole thing with the group that was together, whether it was Madame Rose Marta and McGonagall and Flitwick and Hagrid.
Fudge is the only weird one for me.
All of them together, it's just a weird combination. And Madame Rose Marta
is... They're all co-workers aside from Fudge.
I know, but like... It's a weird combination, all of those together. And then Madame Rose Marta is there for nothing more than, oh, how did this happen? Oh,
honey, she owns a pub. You know she wants to dish.
I know.
It's Fudge. Fudge is the only one for me that I'm like, really? He'd be sitting there gossiping. But then again, he's like, yeah, of a minister of magic.
By the way, so here it is, the information that we were looking for about champing at the bit. It is, in fact, champing at the bit. One definition of bit is that a metal mouthpiece used for controlling a horse. And one definition of champ is to bite or chew noisily. These are the senses meant in the idiom champing at the bit, which refers to the tendency of some horses to chew on the bit when impatient or eager. So
maybe I'll just call it chewing on the bit.
Some people do say chomping on the bit
is fine.
Chomping is relatively the same as champing.
Oh, so you can drop this like annoyance that you have?
No, I will not. I refuse to drop the annoyance because it's champing at the bit. That is okay. The actual phrase. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Sorry, continue.
No.
But yeah, Fudge. The awkwardness that... I want you to think about this, Mary. All the way back in book two, many moons ago, actually not that long
not
ago.
Not that long ago.
I would say probably within book terms, maybe less than a year ago, Fudge had won Hagrid committed to Azkaban for nothing.
Yeah.
And here he is just sharing a pint with Hagrid. What are we doing? How is this not addressed? How is this not just talk? It reminds me of The Leftovers. Remember when Damon Lindelof was like, you know, Kevin can't come back to life and have no one not talk about it. You just, that's something you have to talk about. Hashtag spoilers. I feel like we're in the Kevin coming back to life area with Hagrid and Fudge. What are your thoughts on that?
Blake, this is the first time I'm thinking about it from that angle. Like, I've just been thinking about it as the minister of magic is just chilling at this table at this pub with these teachers. Now, granted, he's on his way to go meet with Dumbledore.
Yeah.
But, like, just, you know, just fancied myself a little break.
Sure.
You know? While there's this crazy murderer running around town, I've got time just to, like, you know, kill time to kill with my friends, and by my friends I mean people I don't really know and one of whom I committed to Azkaban last year. So yeah.
And another thing that comes
up, he even talks about Azkaban. He's like, oh yeah, right. I was there, I like visited him and he like seemed totally cool and with it or whatever.
Wouldn't
like
it have been like okay to be like, oh yeah, Hagrid, BT Dubs, sorry about that.
Yeah, like why didn't Hagrid pop in and be like, when I was in Azkaban last year, I don't think I could have broken out when Fudge put me in Azkaban last year.
Yeah, like, you know,
like I have never thought about this.
You're welcome.
Oh my god,
you are welcome, Mary. And it's like Fudge is like, oh yeah, you know, that place is so tight and secure that like we barely even need walls there. Like it's amazing. I love that place. You know, when I was there, Sirius Black, he was kind of normal. He just asked me for my paper. You, Hagrid, I don't know what you did. What, did you eat mice? Like, sucks to suck, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Another thing that kind of bothers me about this gathering, aside from the fact that it's just super awkward and super clumsy. And
I won't be able to unsee this now.
You're welcome. It's super clumsy how all the information is given. Like, there's even this back and forth between McGonagall and Rosmerta. Oh, well, if you remember James Potter, then you'd remember that he was best friends with Sirius Black. And they were like brothers. You couldn't separate them. It's telling the other person stuff that they already know just for the sake of the reader. And I hate that.
Okay.
Hate it. But aside from that, these people are out there jibber-jabbering, like it's no big deal. They're not talking about the most infamous criminal in Azkaban who's escaped, who's been cited at the school 2.5 minutes down the road. What are we doing? What are we talking about? You're just jibber-jabbering. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey, Sirius Black this. It all goes back to The Godfather. It's like Frankie Pentangeli. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sirius Black said this. Sirius Black said that. And I said, yeah, sure. Okay. Like, that's what are we talking about?
I know.
Oh, God.
However, I do like that we know everybody's drink order at this point. Because McGonagall, she wants a small gillywater. What do you think a gillywater tastes like?
I'm going to say seaweed because it's gillyweed.
Yeah.
And
whatever it must make her lips loose because she is. Oh, yeah. And then we have 4 pints of mulled mead, obviously to Hagrid since it's so very much. And Flitwick gets a cherry syrup and soda with ice and an umbrella. Basically a Shirley Temple.
He's so cute with his legs dangling off the chair, foot off the ground.
And then red currant rum for the minister. Once again, you get any of these people drinking and they're just going to be chatting. I mean, even McGonagall says, because Rosmerta asks, like, what's the scoop of Sirius Black? And McGonagall just turns to Hagrid and she's like, are you telling everybody? And then they all sit down and they all dish. They're pumped. They're pumped to talk to adults, I'm telling you.
Just doing whatever the heck they want to do. Being Frankie Pentangeli everywhere, all over the place.
But
drives me crazy.
In all this exposition, we do learn a lot about what happened on that night to the Potters.
Yes. I will say that I think the film handles this scene a lot better.
With it being like a private upstairs room, Harry wears the invisibility cloak for all of this. Yeah.
And I feel like, listen, like Outlander, I did a Blake's Book Club today for Outlander on Voyager. And I talked about the coincidences that happen in Outlander. And Harry Potter... Oh, by the way, sorry, I have to play this. This is my new thing. That is my new Outlander sound. Like Outlander, Harry Potter is absolutely guilty, of at least in the books, of having these coincidences. And it is something that comes... Harry always just happens to stumble on an adult who just happens to freely talk about the most important plot points of the story at the exact right time.
He must just drink a lot of that Felix Felicis and not even know it.
He must have it in an IV in his veins, just constant, just an auto drip, like a coffee pot, just Felix Felicitous.
Ooh, you just made that one a little different. I like it.
I gotcha.
But we do. We get all this information about understanding what happened with Sirius Black and what made this so bad. We understand that he was the secret keeper of where James and Lily Potter were. And how sad to think that this spell would have been so strong that they could have lived all those years and Voldemort would have never found them.
Yeah,
that pretty much they would just be like invisible. It'd basically be like blocking someone on Facebook. You can still post whatever you want to post. You can be whoever you want to be. They can't see you. You're invisible.
Is it specific to just Voldemort? Or are they like invisible to everybody?
I think they were invisible to everybody unless the secret keeper told you. I don't know. That's a good question. Because, like, would they be isolated from society aside from Sirius Black for years? What were they intending? That's a really good question. I don't know.
And, like, it would make sense if it's specific to Voldemort. Like, if it was, okay, we have to keep this secret. From whom are we keeping it secret? And that's why that person could go right up to the window and look in, and they wouldn't be able to see you. Because then how else would James and Lily go through the rest of their lives if they're just invisible? Another thing,
I just see it as like blocking someone on Facebook.
I do too. And at least that's the way that I think it probably would work. Because for them to be invisible from everybody wouldn't, no, makes sense.
How do you go to the supermarket?
Yeah, like how do you like do apple? If you're carrying a bag of apples and you go up to the counter and you start ringing, is it just the bag of apples floating?
I don't know. Or do they become invisible as you're holding them? Great question.
Right. Another thing too, I wonder is what was the name of the charm that it was called. Like Fidelis?
Yeah,
the
Fidelius.
Fidelius charm. Why wouldn't Dumbledore use the Fidelius charm on like the Sorcerer's Stone or on any of the stuff?
I think you have to do it on a person.
You sure?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I mean, if it has to be done, I don't think there's anything explicit in the text that would suggest that it has to be on a person. I don't think there's anything explicit about that. Well, Mary's looking it up right now.
Okay, the Fidelius charm is an extremely difficult, multifaceted, potent charm that can be used to conceal a secret inside an individual's soul. The witch or wizard who uses it, who houses the secret, is known as a secret keeper. A dwelling whose location has been protected by this spell, so it is a dwelling, is an invisible, intangible, unplottable, and soundproof. This is an extremely old spell and the most ancient of all.
Really? Mm-hmm. So it would make you realize then that the spell is a really hard spell. So you have to be an extremely good witch or wizard in order to complete the spell, I would imagine.
Want me to keep reading it?
Yeah, go. Yeah, okay. Keep going.
When the charm is initially cast, only one can choose more than one person to be the secret keeper, though it is unknown if there's a limit how many people can be a secret keeper. Once the secret keeper dies, all the people who have learned the secret from them will become the new secret keepers.
Okay.
If the keeper has chosen not to reveal a secret to anyone, the secret rests with them forever. Once the secret has been implemented, the only method for another to learn is for the primary secret keeper to divulge it to that person directly.
Fair enough. It cannot
be discovered any other way. It must be completely voluntary. They cannot use Veritaserum, Legitimacy, the Cruciatus Curse, Imperius Curse. Like, none of that can affect this charm. So Sirius could tell Dumbledore. Yes. Sirius could tell his friends. The people to whom the secret keeper has already divulged the information, secondary secret keepers, one can say, would not be able to pass it along, even if they wanted to, and the information in question cannot be learned, even by stumbling across it, even if one were starting to share the secret.
Okay.
It can be verbal or written when you share it with somebody to a secondary secret keeper. You can also show somebody.
Sure.
So you could like take them there. And
so I guess what I'm saying is,
like, Grimwald Place has a Fidelius charm, I think, on it. And that's why people can't see it until you're taken there by somebody.
That makes sense.
And that's why.
And that's why I'm saying, why wouldn't Dumbledore use it on the Sorcerer's Stone? Because he would have the secret of where it is in somebody else. And like, this is the issue I think that the author runs into when she adds new charms like this, because how do you backfill that mythology for something as sensitive as the Sorcerer's Stone?
But the Sorcerer's Stone, you need to have it probably on a place.
Yeah,
not the thing itself, but a place. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, like you put it somewhere. Okay, you put it in a tin can underground. And you tell somebody about it.
Because I think Dumbledore was using it as bait for Harry.
Okay, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
I think that was the purpose of all this.
Now you're talking. Okay, I will get...
I'm pretty sure they used the Fidelius charm on Bill Weasley's beach house, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense to me. Yep, that makes sense.
So,
yep,
I'm seeing it as places. All right, so.
Fair enough. But I find the Fidelius charm a really interesting way to conceal certain things in this world. And Mary, remind me, how did it all go down? Did they tell? They didn't tell Sirius, right? He wasn't the secret keeper.
Sirius was the secret keeper.
He was the secret keeper.
But then he like passed it to Pettigrew.
Yeah, but then how did Pettigrew?
We're just going to have to find out, Blake.
I know, but I'm saying, how did Pettigrew, if he was the secondary secret keeper, right? How did he pass that information to Voldemort if the secondary keeper, you just read it.
I know. I think I'm going to have to get a little bit more specific because we're going to, and people who are on the chat live right now, please. I think that he like made, I think he switched and like gave his first level secret keeper-ishness to Pettigrew.
Okay.
I think that that's what happened. I think he ended up like trusting Pettigrew and gave him the power. And that's why he's like so mad at himself. I forget the... We'll get to it exactly.
Yeah, like
something like that. Like he's like, hey, can you handle this for me for a little bit?
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Good. Fine. Fair enough. I want to talk about the beginning of the chapter because I know we've jumped all around here. But the beginning of the chapter is kind of horrifying. Yeah, no, it's horrifying and disturbing when you think about it. When you sit down and you look at it. And Harry hears his mother screams while she's dying. And he instinctively knows that it's his mother that's screaming and dying. I can't tell you how disturbing that is and how many copays he needs to have in order to sort through that ugliness. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
There's someone who has to talk to him about this.
I mean, that's it. And, you know, it's thank God he has Lupin.
Right.
But yeah, for him to know and for him to realize, like, that was Voldemort's voice. Like, what I hear, this cackling, was Voldemort's voice. Just boggles my mind. The fact that he can hear his mother, who obviously she died when he was so young and he's never going to be able to have those moments with her. It's not like they have, you know, home moments on VHS,
right?
Sadly for the wizarding community, even though they need to get on that, you know?
You think they would.
Seriously.
Suzanne here says, I thought Sirius was supposed to be the keeper, but the Potters changed their minds at the last minute and gave it to Peter.
I'm gonna double check on this because I don't want to be messing.
Yeah, I don't want to give the wrong information either. Yeah. I want to get the right information. But that was a comment here. Another comment that we have here, it was from Lily. She says, "I thought Pettigrew was the original secret keeper because the Potters thought Sirius would be too obvious." And like I remember that too. Like they chose.
So yeah.
Vaguely, I remember that.
It's saying this. Sirius says, I persuaded Lily and James to change it to Peter at the last moment.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So he was the original secret keeper. Peter Pettigrew.
The last moment. Yes.
Yeah. The last moment. Okay. Good. All right. I want to make sure we get that right because that's a big deal. Lupin in this chapter. Oh, another thing about the conversation.
Because it was him, but they switched it.
Yeah, when McGonagall and everybody are talking about James and Sirius, and then
you're hopping again. Are you?
I'm hopping again.
Okay.
Because I started to talk about Lupin, and it's gonna lead into our next conversation. They start talking about Lupin and James and Peter Pettigrew. No, I'm sorry, Sirius, James, and Peter Pettigrew, and they don't mention Lupin at all. How does Lupin not come into this conversation? How is he not even mentioned 1 ounce? Because as we know from the Marauders map, these four were like buddies. These were the best buddies. and they traveled around like a pack. Are you telling me the guy they're teaching with, they wouldn't be like, yeah, luckily we got Lupin here. You know, like he's a good guy. You know, I know that Peter Pettigrew was kind of like a no talent nonsense mess, and James and Sirius, you know, they.
Yeah, you're ready for Madame Rosemert to be like, yeah, I remember James Potter hanging out with Sirius all the time. They also hung out with Lupin. Yeah,
isn't he teaching there?
Yeah, I just saw him. Yeah.
Right. Like,
that is funny.
How does Lupin not come into this conversation? And I'll tell you why he doesn't come into the conversation, because the story needs for Lupin to not come into the conversation.
Agreed.
And that bothers the hell out of me.
Or they just didn't want to bring him up because now he is their coworker and they just don't want to speak badly of him.
Well, they wouldn't be speaking badly of him. It would just be an acknowledgement. Like, are you telling me if you had that conversation about this group of guys and the guy that you're teaching with doesn't come up? How? It's preposterous. It's almost as preposterous as the amount of milk that was drunk between Daphne and Anthony in Bridgerton. It's almost that preposterous. Sorry.
It's okay.
But Lupin in this chapter is
fantastic.
Awesome. He is awesome in every way. Just giving Harry the truth and just allowing him to have it.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part.
Lupin wasn't one of the mischief makers. Like, I do see it that it being James and Sirius, Lupin being a dear friend of theirs, but Lupin kind of being like, you know, the good one,
mm-hmm.
the Hermione.
Yeah, like he's definitely the Hermione of the group.
Yeah.
You could see Sirius being like the Ron of the group and James being the Harry of the group if you wanted.
Agreed.
But like you said,
at this point in the book, because we don't know all of the connections, we don't know about Padfoot being Padfoot from the Marauder's Map. We don't know this stuff yet in the book. There are bits that have to be left out and ignored. And for that, it's okay. It's okay.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
It'll all be tied up with a nice bow soon. Because this is honestly one of my favorite books. And the complexity of this with the Secret Keeper and with the map and everything, it is just such a delightful story.
It's hard because there's a lot of maneuvering parts when you start involving the group of people that they're talking about.
Yes.
And how they all weave with each other. You have to be on it to make it work, unless the story dictates that you aren't on it. And the only way to make it work is to not be on it, which I think is an affect of this chapter. And that's the reason why I'm kind of calling it out.
You know, once again, it's just so funny because, you know, I read these books as a teenager. And I just was soaking it all up. You know, I wasn't sitting here.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this exposition dump.
Not being nerds.
No.
You know.
Nerds!
You know, just soaking it all up. Like, give me more, give me more. Like, flying through the chapters. And I think that that's one of the other things. By us taking our time and savoring it and kind of going through this chapter by chapter, we're allowed to sit here and say, like, does this chapter stand on its own?
Yep.
Can you read this chapter and be like, I'm cool with how all of this was handled? Whereas I said, when you're plowing through a book, I mean, you read one of these in a day, you know, when you first get it.
You're moving so quick that you don't have the time to stop and think because you're like, I got to get to the next thing.
You're not even, exactly. Right. So, but it is fun reading it chapter by chapter, also with the hindsight of everything that we know.
Yeah, when I think about it, I can't believe how talented James and Sirius and Lupin and even Peter Pettigrew to an extent must have been, how powerful they must have been to make a map like the Marauder's Map.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. You have the entire school of Hogwarts and all of the passages, everything on this one map, and you're showing every person. What kind of magic must they have done
know that all of their parents, like senior year, were like, you could go on to be like a doctor. You know, they pretty much had the conversation that my parents had with me. You could be anything. You could be a scientist curing cancer. You could be, and you want to be a music teacher, you know? you don't have a profession, serious. You just want to go buy a motorbike? Like, that's what you want to do?
You want to go just travel the world on a bike?
Yes.
On a flying fracking bike?
Or like,
no wonder why you are Gryffindor.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I love it. But it is. It's a delightful chapter aside from the issues that you have with it.
Yeah. I also love how they're a beautiful exposition dump in this book, in this chapter, in opposition to what happened between the teachers, is Fred and George.
Yes.
And how they discovered the map. This too is an exposition dump. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's right there. And they're telling you, oh yeah, we did this and we found it and we found it in Filch's thing. And in the sign said like extremely dangerous, don't touch or whatever it was. And they're like, oh yeah, we took it. And they explained the whole story. But the way that this story was dropped in to the writing was a terrific,
seamless,
terrific way to introduce this extraordinarily cool magical artifact. Because they're telling Harry, someone who doesn't know anything about it, and they're like, hey, come here. Check this out.
It's so interesting. I love the Marauder's Map. You know, you forget how different it is in the book than in the movie. The fact that, like, Harry becomes this little person in the book, and he's shown with his wand tapping the hump of the witch, and then he taps the hump of the witch, nothing happens, and then up on the map comes this little speech bubble, you know, with the spell that he needs to, the incantation he needs to recite to actually make the passageway open. Yep. It's just a really neat bit. And it makes me wonder, how did Fred and George even figure out how to make the Marauder's Map work? But on that side, I wonder if the Marauder's Map can just tell, like, this person's worthy. Like, obviously, the Marauder's Map could tell that Harry didn't know how to get to the secret passageway. It had to produce this little picture of him. It had to give him the spell. Mm-hmm. Maybe when Fred and George snatched it, the Marauder's Map felt comfortable like this. These are our new home.
Yes, this
is it. We will tell them what to say. You know, like, I think that that's how it happened. It doesn't say that in the book, but because of the way that it shows us how Harry learns how to get through the secret passageway, I feel like the Marauder's Map chose Fred and George to open its secrets to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Because how could anybody just figure out the exact right keywords to say? It'd be like one thing if it was just one word, like...
Yeah, to literally say, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Yeah, like
how would Fred and George have come up with that phrase?
There's no way.
Abracadabra, bippity boppity boo, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good. No, it had to have told them.
Yeah, it had to have. It's like an Apple phone. You know, you get like three tries probably,
and then you
shut off, and that's it.
Yep.
You know, and then there's no opening it again.
Yes.
I feel like that's probably the way that it goes.
Agreed.
And it probably... chose, it's like the Sword of Gryffindor. It chose to show itself to the people they believe.
Who are worthy.
So I don't think it's coincidence that they bring up Fred and George and Sirius and James in the same breath when it's Fred and George who mysteriously figure out how to maneuver and operate the Marauder's Map. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. It's just great. Just great. And when the teachers say that Pettigrew is like
a little lump of a boy, as they say in a movie, but...
And just, like, not really talented, and I can't... Knowing what we know now, I kind of disagree.
Oh, yeah.
That kid turned everything that was bad about him and used it as his strength so that he could take the unassuming role and manipulate that to his advantage so that he could maneuver in and out of places and things that he wants to do with ease.
Yeah.
And that's also, I think, a great bit of writing from the author, taking Sirius and using him as the main focus. And in this instance, saying that he's the criminal and he's the one that has all this power. And he was the one that apparently was Voldemort's most trusted follower, which I don't know how they jumped to that conclusion. Putting all the attention on him. And at the same time,
It's really Peter.
And everything that he's been doing is under the table. It's all underground.
Yeah.
I really like that, how she maneuvers that. How did they come to the conclusion that Sirius is Voldemort's most, like, fervent
I would say supporter. Just the fact that, like, the one thing that Voldemort needed was to kill baby Harry Potter, and Sirius, or so they think, was the one that got it to all happen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, you did the ultimate thing.
Yeah, so that would naturally translate to him being, like...
I wouldn't say he's, like... Yeah.
I would think that it's a little bit of a logic jump, but still, you know, regardless. I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah. I feel like we've pretty much covered the chapter.
And it sets Harry, I think, on this path of being like, yeah, we're going to go get Sirius Black now. Like, we're going to find out. Because now he has all the information. He has all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how could... If you're Harry Potter, how do you not want... Like, how do you not want to go... It flies right in the face of everything that Mr. Weasley said at the beginning of the book. Like, just do me a favor. Don't go after Sirius Black. Just don't do it. Just do me a favor. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. Just,
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
I do what I want.
All right. You ready for a different perspective, Marvin?
Yes. You'll go this week.
Oh, no. I don't have one. I did one last week, and you hated it.
Okay.
You hated it. So, I'm a little gun-shy now.
Okay.
All right. Want to let you know that this different perspective is brought to you by jointhenerdclan.com. Have an announcement. Mary is doing her Bridgerton book club, Mary's book club. It'll be about the Duke and I. So, for all you Bridgerton nerds out there, she will be doing that after Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And I will be doing an MCU TV show blog when...
MCU.
Yeah, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When...
Not everybody's down with your nerd lingo.
Sorry. When we hit 700 members. Right now, we are at 695. We only need 5 more members at jointhenerdclan.com. And if you want me to talk about WandaVision, the upcoming Loki, the upcoming She-Hulk, the upcoming... Winter Soldier and Falcon, all of those shows, you will go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a member there, and when we hit 700, I will make a special blog just about all of those shows. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
So jointhenerdclan.com. Marvin, are you ready for this?
I am.
Let's do it.
Holy cricket, you're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Madame Pomfrey.
Okay. Okay, Madame Pomfrey, what do you got?
It's been a while.
Bit for you.
It's hard. Been a busy season.
Yeah.
It's been a real busy season. I mean, it's nothing like last year. Gosh, with the Chamber of Secrets and the Basilisk and...
Having to grow bones.
Wait, oh my gosh. Last year was a whole different can of worms. This year, it's just annoying, okay? It's just mm-hmm. First off, we have Draco Malfoy, who is fine.
Milking it.
Fine.
What are you doing letting him sit there for the entire time?
I'm not trying to. I keep telling him, you are fine. You got hurt the first week of September. I fixed your boo-boo. I kissed it better. I gave you your Spider-Man Band-Aid. That's all you needed. You're fine. And here we are.
He was in there for like 6 months.
It's like November. And he still is whining. He'll come because he wants fresh bandages. That kid needs help. Okay, but I don't get paid enough to be a therapist. I just don't.
Okay.
Speaking of therapy, though, Harry freaking Potter.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Hold, we gotta, you know.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
That kid.
This kid needs to be in a bubble. I'm telling ya.
Right?
Like,
getting himself involved in everything.
I mean, it's one thing if you know, there's some kids who are prone to nosebleeds, there's some kids who are prone to tripping. Harry Potter's prone to pretty much dying.
Sure.
And it's just really weird. I hate these Dementors. I'm just not getting paid enough for this job.
You know, I heard that Harry Potter was sneaking out of the school. That's what I saw. There was a sighting I heard for him at the Three Broomsticks. What would you say to that?
I don't even care. Because I don't even want to talk about the Three Broomsticks. I heard that my fellow coworkers went out and didn't invite me.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. Why wouldn't they allow you to have a drink with them?
Maybe they think I don't.
Maybe you should go hang out with Sprout. Drink some gin.
Yeah, I'm going to go downstairs to the kitchen.
What's your drink of choice, Madame Pomfrey? What are you feeling? Are you like a bourbon girl?
I literally will drink anything. Like rubbing alcohol, generally. Okay.
So you're a vodka girl, then?
Whatever is wet. All right. I am the only health person in all of Hogwarts.
Yep. You know, vodka cleans things.
I need a raise.
Yes, you do. End scene. All right, we got some listener questions and email. Mavity, you ready for this?
Yes.
Of course, if you are listening to us on the podcast app, you are not alone. You can send us all the emails and all the questions. Just do me a favor and send an email to us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, and we will get your emails and we will talk about whatever you want to talk about in the next episode. If you are watching us live, and many of you are, thank you so much. Now is the time to ask your questions. And Mary, what do the people put in front of their question in the comment section?
A lightning bolt emoji.
That way we get to know that is something that you want us to talk about. It is a question that you have for us. In the meantime, let's get to it.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so we have a couple questions from Lacey. She says, if you could have more information on a Harry Potter character, what character would it be? Like, if you have a backstory on a Harry Potter character, what character would that be? If you want to know more about them, who would you want? And the next question, she says that I have to, a challenge that she has for me is to all the Gryffindor shirts with Lupin lines on them. So
that's cool.
I think I might do that. That's a good idea. But the character that you would want more information on, Mary, in a side story or...
I think I'd like Lupin.
Yeah, I think Lupin would be kind of cool.
I think he'd have a great perspective on the Marauders. Mm-hmm. You know, really kind of unbiased. Mm-hmm. And then to see his whole transformation that happened to him and what it's been like and what he's been up to all these years.
Sure.
You know, losing all of his friends. Mm-hmm. I just would like to know more about Lupin.
I kind of want a side story of Bellatrix.
Mm.
And maybe it's just because I'm in love with, you know, a close friend of the show, HBC.
Yes.
I'm in on the HBC action. But the Bellatrix story would be interesting.
Agreed.
Knowing how she ended up getting in Azkaban, fighting the Order of the Phoenix and coming into the services of Voldemort and the whole, like, I'd be in on that.
There's this really cool TikTok, like, movie stuff being made. Maybe it's also on YouTube, but it's like the Noble House of Black. And it's these young filmmakers who have made a internet series about Narcissa. What's her mother's name? Is Tonks' mom named Theodora? I think so as well. Nymphadora.
Yep.
And Bellatrix. And it's about their time in Hogwarts as teenagers.
Really?
And how, you know, Narcissa starts to fall in love with Lucius, and how Nymphadora's, you know, being more good, and how Narcissa is really choosing this dark stuff. So I went down this hole for a little while just like watching it. But
oh my goodness.
If any of you are interested, the Noble House of Black is a thing, and it's actually done very, very well. I mean, they have costumes and sets, and they do it justice.
Yes.
And Sirius Black is starting to come up. Yeah.
All right. This one comes from Roberta. She says, how did Fred and George know how to use the Marauder's map? As far as they know, they took a piece of old parchment from Filch. How do they figure out what it was and how it works? Again, as we talked about earlier in the episode, I think the Marauder's map, again, this is not explicit in the text. It's only implicit. And I'm not even sure if it's implicit. It's probably just us thinking that it might be.
I bet you the author has said it somewhere, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, if you want, as I talk about it, maybe you could look that up real quick. And I will vamp for you this time. Mm-hmm. The way that I think about it is the Marauder's map understands who is looking at it. That must be part of the charm that is on this parchment. Has to be. Because there's no way for them for Fred and George to figure that out without help, without the Marauder's map presenting, like, James and Sirius and Remus and Peter must have said in the charm, like, okay, if someone has the right motivation, if someone who wants to use this for the right reasons, like the reasons that we're using it, if that's the case, then it can present itself to them.
Yeah.
So is there anything on that you're finding?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing in text. Okay. Fair enough. So Roberta, I think that is probably how they were able to discover the Marauder's Map and how it's used. All right. Let's get to the questions that we have here in our live. Let's see.
Patricia.
Elizabeth says, this may be a silly question, but what is butterbeer? Like, what is butterbeer, Mary? Is it just a non-alcoholic drink? Is there like in Harry?
I think it is alcoholic in the show, in the books.
Is it really?
Yeah. Kids are allowed to drink in the UK.
Yeah, when they're like 18, they're not.
No.
No, you can't go grabbing a 10-year-old and giving them butterbeer. You can't be giving a 13-year-old alcoholic butterbeer. There has to be.
Well, if you're with your family, you can drink. You can drink alcohol with your family in England. And when you're like over 12 or something.
I find that questionable. I find that questionable. There's no way. There's no way. A 13-year-old's hammering butterbeers.
In the author's books, butterbeer is a creamy brew with the mildest touch of alcohol.
Wow. That is fascinating.
But at the Wizarding World, it's non-alcohol.
Yeah, well, there's no alcoholic version at the Wizarding World, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
We didn't have an alcoholic version.
When we were there. But we make an alcoholic. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It tastes like butterscotch.
Yep.
Yeah, and we had the frozen, ice cream flavored, the warm.
Not the warm. We didn't do warm. We just did.
We did the frozen blended, and then just like the soda
version. Yes, yeah. Soda version was good. The frozen was good. I really liked the ice cream. I think I liked the soda version better than the frozen version.
It says alcoholic content. Butter beer may have had a very slight alcohol content, which could get house elves drunk in a drunk like state.
Okay.
Though an antidote to it existed, this is likely due to the house elves both being significantly smaller as well as having different body chemistry than humans.
Okay. So it's like eating a rum cake. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
It says that when they're at Slughorn's Christmas party under the influence of butterbeer, which indicated that it could lower inhibitions, perhaps like alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Winky gets drunk on butterbeer.
Yes.
Okay.
And that would make sense for Slughorn's party, for the Slug Club, because he wants information from all the kids. So he can, you know, gather them in his club.
But it is delicious.
Okay, it is delicious. And we here personally make butterbeer for the holidays. We do it for Halloween, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. And it's an alcoholic version. We do make a non-alcoholic version for our kids.
Yeah.
But ours is butterscotch schnapps, vanilla vodka, cream soda, and I make a homemade butterscotch flavored whipped cream, which is
delicious.
Delicious. Delicious. Okay. Let's see. Let's get to the next
Patricia.
One. I'm really sorry for asking this question, Patricia says, but I've never quite understood why Voldemort wanted baby Harry dead. Mary.
Patricia. So I'm assuming you didn't get to read up through book five. But basically there is Trelawney makes a prediction that a baby who is born in July will have the power to defeat Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
And that neither can live while the other one survives, and that one of them has to kill the other one. So two wizard babies are known of to be born in July, Neville Longbottom and Harry Potter, and Snape, who at the time was a Death Eater, ends up telling Voldemort, oh, I know of a baby born in July.
It's this kid.
It's
the Potter's
James
kid.
And Lily Potter's baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the baby that can kill you, but please just don't kill Lily.
Yeah, do me a solid, don't kill Lily.
So that's why, because it was a prophecy that
was made by Trelawney.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Allie asks, do you think you could happily accept a chapter so heavy in exposition, dumping, and possible plot holes for the purposes of furthering the story? Can it get a free pass?
Yes, in my book.
Yes, Allie. In the spirit of what this book is trying to do, it can get a free pass.
I mean, we were just talking to like the most complaining person I know. But yes.
Listen, again, if this were Outlander,
did a farce, Sassanac.
I would have, and I have railed Outlander for stuff like this. So just to be fair, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Caitlin asks, why did Dumbledore never ask Snape if Sirius was in Voldemort's inner circle? If anyone would know, it would be Snape, right? I mean, also, oh, we need a burn for you soundbite for now that Bridgerton is around, now that we have a Jamie one. Yes, I think I will come up with a burn for you one soon, too.
So they did have suspicions that there was a traitor amongst them in the Order of the Phoenix. And I believe they actually thought that it was Lupin, which is part of the reason why they switch the Secret Keeper from Sirius to Pettigrew, thinking like they're never going to think it's this like measly little, person.
Yep. Angela says, why are they freewheeling this conversation with Hermione and Ron right next to them? Even if they don't see Harry, they know that Ron and Hermione are his best friends. Are they that dense? Were they drunk?
I think they were under the influence a little bit. Hermione does move a Christmas tree to block all of their view. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it. Harry's under the table just to be like extra covered, but I did see it as that like she moved the Christmas tree so that they were all out of view.
Tasha says, if you go anywhere on the map, where would you go, Mary?
Oh, I think I'd want to go peek in everyone's common room. I just want to go snoop.
Are you serious?
I would want
to
know.
That's the one place you would want to go?
Well, where would you go? It's a school.
Dumbledore's office.
Nah.
Absolutely. You get all the tea from Dumbledore's office.
I don't want to go in there. His candies bite you. You like dip your head in this thing and you see things you can't unsee.
That's right. I want all the tea.
I want to go hang out in the Hufflepuff common room.
So you can be just bored to tears?
No.
Because Hufflepuffs don't do anything.
They're next to the kitchen. You know they're going to have coffee cake, and it's super cozy. It's like snuggly. That's where I want to go. I want to go hang out with my puff friends.
Oh, man. All right. Jackie says, if you could have a Marauder's map of anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I wouldn't want one. I have a Marauder's map on my GPS.
Yeah, but no, a Marauder's map gives you like everything. People.
And yeah, I'm all set with that.
I think... You know what I would want? I would want a Marauder's map of Oak Island.
Yes.
That's what I would want.
Good. Good call.
That's what they need. They need a Marauder's map for Oak Island.
Yes.
So that they go and
with
find the treasure.
With all the secret passageways.
Yes.
Let's find some treasure, some top pocket finds.
Bobby Dazzlers for days.
Yes. And if you guys are not watching The Curse of Oak Island on the History Channel.
Ugh.
If you like the movie National Treasure with Nicolas Cage, just do yourself a favor.
Yep.
Start at the beginning.
And just enjoy
binge
it.
Binge Curse of Oak Island. It's amazing.
Let's see. We have some more. Jackie says, oh my God, can you share your butterbeer recipe on the Nerd Clan? I already shared it with you just now. So there you go. Allison says,
want like specific amounts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Allison says, have you heard the theory that Longbottom was the actual chosen one instead of Harry? Pretty interesting.
He could have been. Voldemort ended up choosing Harry because then he marked him as his equal. That was part of the prophecy as well. So it really could have come down to Voldemort choosing Harry or Neville, but he chose Harry and they gave him his scar, and that is what made Harry his equal.
But I would say that Harry's probably more of a talented wizard than...
But is he because of everything he went through?
Maybe, but there's also another thing to suggest that he is the chosen one in that his wand shares the phoenix feather.
Yeah, but had Neville been chosen by Voldemort, had Neville gotten the scar, most likely that wand would have chosen Neville because it would have sensed Voldemort in him.
Good point.
I know.
Good point. Good point. Good point. I like it. I like it.
He was chosen, I think, just because of Snape. Snape being like, oh no, I know which kid you're going after.
That's true. So it was a self-fulfilling prophecy then. Like, this prophecy comes about.
Yes.
Again, it's like the Matrix. It's, oh, don't worry about that vase. What vase? You're like, oh, you know, let's bake your noodle. Would you have touched that vase if I didn't say it? So would Harry be the one if Voldemort didn't go to the house and do all the stuff that he did? Like,
you're baking my noodle too much.
Your noodle's totally
baked. It's like a baked ziti. Okay, there's too many noodles being baked. So,
all right. So I think that is that. Anything else you want to say about this chapter, Marvin?
No. Nope.
All right, let's do it. Let's close this bad boy out.
Thank you all all so much for tuning in. We will continue to plug it away at Prisoner of Azkaban. As I said, it's one of my favorite books in the series, and we are just really getting this ball rolling, getting into some really juicy material. So thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to sign up for a complimentary texting reminder. You just take out your phones if they are in the U.S. and text the phone number 81010, and then in the message field, @ Elderwand. So @ ELDERWAND. And if you're outside the U.S., you can get it as well. You go to www.remind.com. So www.remind.com/join
yep.
/Elderwand. Once again, all word.
And of course, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Take advantage of Mary's book club coming after Valentine's Woo-hoo! Day for The Duke and I, which I personally am very excited to read about. And of course, go to jointhenerdclan.com to get me to write an entire blog about every episode of every MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, show that's coming out on Disney Plus from now until whenever. So go there, become a member, get the blog, have some fun, read The Duke and I, maybe catch a little bit of Voyager in there from me too, and we'll have some fun.
I love it. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief Managed.